From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. And I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And from what I hear, because I don't have a direct line to look outside, but it's raining pretty hard right now. I wonder how far it's going down, if it's going down to the Bakersfield area right now. But, yeah, it's sprinkling all through the night, and get here First String, not raining, and now it's coming down pretty hard here in Fresno, California. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a minute, right? Took the last couple weeks off, and happy to be back here. The year of our Lord, 2026. How the heck did we get here? Well, we are here. And excited for the calendar year. Obviously, this kind of is the halfway point in the school year. Consider that. I'm a teacher, too. I go back on Monday. And, consider this the halfway mark. You get excited for Christmas time and for the vacation and for all the things going on and, you know, New Year's and family and all that good stuff that Christmas break brings. But, it's also a time of renewal and refreshing, and I had a really good break, to be honest. I had a great break. I was able to go up to Sacramento for my in-laws' Christmas, my wife's side, so that was a lot of fun, but caught up on some TV shows, stayed up late, probably a little bit too much. I got to get back into the routine of getting up at a decent hour, but I feel good to go. I hope many of you out there do, too. I know a lot of you are saying, what are you talking about, you teachers, and your 3 weeks off, you're 2.5 weeks off. I still had to work. So, I'm sure you had some days off, had some time to relax. I hope your guys' Christmas went really, really well. This is a fun time of the school year, fun time of the sports year. If this is the first time you're hearing the show, if you're a casual listener or somebody likes to tune in as much as possible, thank you guys again for listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, focusing on high school sports throughout the central section. We'll talk about the Bakersfield area a little bit, coastal area. They are a part of our section, the mountain area. But, we talk about the Fresno and Clovis schools, surrounding schools, Fowler, Dinuba. We'll go down to Tulare and Exeter. We actually got Tulare in the house today. So, have a fun time. And there's actually a good amount of information that I get to get out to you guys today. Decent amount of stuff went on, a lot of basketball tournaments, obviously, some wrestling stuff was happening. So we're going to go over that in just a second. Let me just go ahead and say who's coming on the show, two-hour show. Got a great show lined up. I had some time to prepare, let's put it that way. So I got some really good guests to kick off 2026 for you guys. The first guest, around 10:20-ish, after my news and notes section, after we take a break, I have a really great, I guess I could call him kid still. I don't know. It feels kind of weird saying that because he just finished his senior year at Fresno State, Cam Braca. You guys know him as number 22 out there for the Bulldogs, playing safety. Had a great, great career. And his story is one that we're going to remember for a long time. It needs to be told. I watched him play at Buchanan, zero D1 offers, coming out of high school, decided to go to Fresno City, was an all-state player there, decided to walk on at Fresno State. This is the only place where I want to play Division I football, is Fresno State. So walks on, earns a scholarship, and you saw him out there for the last 3 years. Actually, his last year, his junior year, was cut short by an injury. But came on super strong this year. Didn't miss a beat. He's now going to be preparing for the NFL draft. So Cam Braca is coming in here live to First String Sports. We're going to chat him up for, I don't know, hopefully about a half an hour or so. You guys are going to love his story. Just a great story of perseverance, of, like I said, getting through that injury from last year, sure he went through a lot of doubts, a lot of highs and lows, but just a great kid. Again, excited for you guys to hear his story. At the top of hour number two, a little after 11 o'clock, if you guys haven't noticed, the resurgence of Clovis boys basketball. They are 15-3 right now. They got some dudes. They got to watch them just one game so far this year at the Clovis West Nike tournament. And unfortunately for them, it was the game against San Joaquin Memorial. We know how good Memorial is this year. But Clovis looks different this year. If you were to watch one of their games, you're like, man, they got some athletes. They got some basketball players. And Lee Mayberry, the first-year head coach, is a huge reason for that. They play inspired basketball. Play really good defense, attack the rim, averaging, just kind of looking at their scores. I don't have an exact number, but in the 70s. So they're absolutely getting after it. Lee Mayberry, you know, his time at Fresno State, played there for 3 years. His last year was the 93-94 season. He is the chief of police at Clovis Unified. Remember what seeing him walk into basketball games wearing his police uniform. Big old guy, 6'9". Talk about an intimidating police officer, man in uniform. Well, that's Lee Mayberry, and he absolutely gets after it, though, too, as a coach. Knows what he's doing, played for Gary Colson. Great rebounder. I think he averaged, 10.5 rebounds a game. But anyway, he's coming on the show. Excited to talk about Clovis Cougar basketball. He's coming in here live to First String Sports. I think I mentioned the record, 15-3 this season, one of those losses to San Joaquin Memorial. But they're going to be starting track play on the 9th against Buchanan. So they're opening up against Buchanan. We know what Buchanan is able to do last year, going all the way to the Central Section Championship game. At the bottom of hour number two, we're going to continue with boys basketball. We're going South Valley for this one. Coach Mark Hatton of the Tulare Tribe, yeah, still not used to that, the Tribe. He's now the all-time winningest boys basketball coach in Central Section history. So up to 582, took care of, was that Roosevelt last night? Yeah, and beat Kingsburg. He was able to drive down there for the Pauli Wilhelmsen tournament. Very, one of the classic tournaments in the state of California. Watch their game against Kingsburg. They won by 5 points. And to be honest, that was a really good basketball game. Good crowd there. The championship game was at Mount Whitney, where he graduated from. And believe it or not, that's actually their first win. That's Mark Hatton's first win of that tournament. He played in it when he was at Mount Whitney. It's his first time winning it as a coach. So monumental week for Coach Hatton. It's actually going to be our first time talking to him on the show. They're 16-1. He's an old school type of coach too. I've watched him coach. We actually broadcast one of their games last year against Tulare Western, but he is old school, let me tell you that. So excited to talk to him about his career, where he started, what winning the tournament means to him. And if you're wondering, what about, you know, Vance Wahlberg, Tom Orlich, great boys basketball coaches in Central Section. Well, they got a lot of wins, but a lot are out of the section. You know, Wahlberg had his time up north, and Coach Olerts at South Lake Tahoe. But Mark Hatton, all-time winningest boys basketball coach in Central Section history. All right, so a couple news and notes for about 5 minutes before we take a break and bring on Cam Braca. My show ended before taking a break and in 2025. And there were a couple state championship games in football yet to be played. And might be rehashing some old things that you guys know about already. You're like, oh, of course, Paul, we know that. But, you know, Central East won their state championship game 42-28 over Pacifica of Oxnard, who was undefeated at that time. They won the D1 single-A title. Finished at 14-1. Cal High Sports finished them at 12 in the state. Yeah, I guess. Just looking at those other 11 schools, doing the research. Yeah, I could see that, I guess. I would just like to see what how Central would have Central East would have matched up against some of those schools, especially late in the year, right? The only one loss was to Grant. If not for that loss, they would have put together one of the greatest seasons in Central Section history, in my opinion. So just kind of looking at some stats and some players, we know Brandon Smith, incredible season that he had, was named Fresno B Player of the Year, much deserved, one of the top players in the state. He's up for Mr. Basketball Mr. Football, Cal High Sports, rushed for over 2,000 yards this year, actually 2,189, 32 touchdowns, an absolute beast. Jelani Dipple, the quarterback, phenomenal year. One of the best years at quarterback in Central Section history. How about this? 4,583 yards passing. Again, 15 games, so a lot of games, but 4,583. Huge numbers, averaged over 300 passing yards, but the 58 touchdowns stands out to me. He led the state in passing yards, guys. Third in the nation, according to Max Preps. Not quite sure where the 58 touchdowns ranks, but my gosh. That's absolutely huge numbers. And he's only a junior, so he's coming back next year. And the game that Bayon Harris had receiving-wise for Central East was one of the greatest that I have ever seen. I can't underestimate or overestimate the incredible game that he had and the incredible season he had. It ended up with 1768, 26 touchdowns on the year. He's going to be a Cal High Sports first-teamer for sure. Again, only junior, so that kid comes back. But he absolutely put on a show in that state championship game. He was a man among boys. Absolute beast mode. I mean, he cannot be tackled. Took two or three guys to bring him down. So congrats to Central East. Coach Kyle Biggs, amazing coach. One of the best in Central Section history. So they're going to be returning a lot of dudes next year. So congrats to Central East. Also congrats to the Kennedy Thunderbirds. They beat McClyman's 42-25 to win the Division III-A championship, first in school history. You know how many passes they completed in that game? Uno. One. They completed one pass in that championship game and won. Their main dude for 3.5 years, he got brought up midway through his freshman year, was a kid by the name of Jace Demacobalin. I screwed his name up a lot early in his career, but that's the right way to say it. Ended up with 7,235 rushing yards in his career, fourth most in Central Section history. Scored 102 touchdowns, was a beast in that game, had four TDs, still had four sacks, according to Cal High Sports. So just a monster year for those guys. They actually lost three games. They were 3-2 in league and win a Central Section championship and state championship. So congrats to Kennedy and for that great year that they had. All right, a couple things here before we bring on Cam Braca. We mentioned before we took the break that Clovis football coach Aaron Wilkins resigned. So that was kind of big news. But now Eric Brown has stepped down from his coaching duties at Clovis East. And when Tim Skipper got hired at Cal Poly, I thought, thoughts running through my mind, like, yeah, I could see EB moving on to coach with Skip. They play together at Fresno State, good friends throughout this process. We know Eric Brown coached college football before coming back to his alma mater at Clovis West for 5 years, but he's going to be joining his staff as linebackers coach, special assistant to the defensive side, defensive coordinator. So EB moving his family to SLO. So he's going to be coaching there. Wish him nothing but the best. Just a great guy. Was a good friend to me. Always willing. Man, I could call that guy at like midnight after his games. He'd pick up. We talk about his game. So good luck to Eric Brown. Just one of the gems in the Central Section. We're definitely going to miss him. And Damon Jenkins has left Kerman High, and he's going to be headed to San Joaquin Memorial. That was announced on Twitter a few weeks ago, but it's officially official on San Joaquin Memorial's end. You know, Damon Jenkins played at De La Salle, played at Fresno State, one of Pat Hill's favorite, did a great job at Kerman, won the Central Section Championship last year, made it to the state title game. So he's going to be the head coach at San Joaquin Memorial. It's going to be a great get for them. All right, one last thing before we move on and bring on Cam. Phil Bonatti and I are going to be broadcasting a basketball game next Tuesday. Fresno Christian at Kingsburg. The Eagles of Fresno Christian are 15-2. The Vikings are 13-3. It's going to be a great matchup against a couple of really good basketball players. Jensen Hirschhorn, who became a 1,000-point guy, leads the all-time leader in rebounds, steals, and block shots at the school. Leon Maddock is back in the Central Valley. Remember, he played for Kerman 2 years ago, won a Valley Championship with them, moved away for a year. Now he is back and doing great things at Fresno Christian. So that's going to be a great matchup. Excited to bring that one at 7 o'clock next Tuesday at Kingsburg. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring on Cam Braca. Can't wait for you guys to hear his story. And can't wait to hear about his thoughts about that Snoop Bowl, man. Some crazy stuff, especially in the post game, man. That's some wild stuff that I saw online about the end of that. But we're going to hear from Cam coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I hope you guys are listening. I didn't mention in my opener, if you miss any part of the show, want to go back and listen, this shows and all my other ones are going to be archived. So just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com, look under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. Boom, there they are. I think commercial free. So as much to the chagrin of our sponsors, but yeah, you guys can go back and listen. Long time coming.
Absolutely.
With Cam Braca here. Got to watch him for all those years at Buchanan High School, follow his career to Fresno City, and then the great things that he was able to do at Fresno State. So finally we got him on the show here. And it's a little bit more difficult, I guess you could say. I actually haven't had too many Fresno State players on while in season because you got to go through different channels, right? High school kids, you ask their coach, hey, can so-and-so come on? Yeah, sure, they'll be there, Paul. But happy to have Cam Braca here on the show right now. So, Cam, how you doing, man,
first of all? Thanks for having me. I mean, like we said, it's a long time coming. You know, I've listened to your show since I was in high school and always wanted to be on here, so it's pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Come
on.
Oh,
gosh.
Especially coming over here to First String as we're growing up. Had to get some stuff, so.
You got your Letterman's jacket? Did you buy one?
It's from here, yeah. Yeah, I got it. It's in the closet.
Is it highly decorated?
It's up there. It's not as decorated as my sister's, but, you know, it's up there. She's got me beat. But I got a few things on there, yeah.
You put, like, one of the things I advertise to when I talk about First String Sports and Letterman's jacket is the Bible verses, right? You got anything like that on, or you just got your patches, or you got the big name on the back?
We got the name on the back, patches. I think I might have a verse on there, you know. I got to look back. It's been a little while. I got to get the dust off that thing.
It's probably deep in the closet, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it's a good keepsake, you know.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to get into a lot of stuff here. I got you till the top of the hour. Does it feel like it's been a week since you played in that bowl game last week in Arizona?
I know.
Does it seem a little surreal?
It's been kind of a weird time period, you know, that weird period of time from Christmas to New Year's. You don't know what day it is. And, you know, I had such a big structure with classes and football, and that's what keeps you knowing what day it is. And so now to not really have anything, you kind of just lose track. It's weird.
But last week, let's talk about that football game.
Yeah.
What's been your prevailing thought like throughout the week when that game's been over? What's just kind of embedded in your head?
I mean, yeah, I think it was just what a team win to end the thing. You know, I think you saw how much better we got as a program, as a team, as a culture, and just how we grew. And, you know, just to put the cherry on top on Saturday, you know, we had worked so hard the past few weeks to get that done. And it's just awesome to see how that unfolded and how that's going to propel this team into next year and what Coach Entz is going to continue to do with this program. So it was awesome.
What was, like, the biggest thrill? Like, running onto the field, celebrating afterwards, that crazy celebration, walking by Snoop.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool, dude. Snoop in the locker room pregame was obviously a really cool deal. You know, that was pretty awesome to see him come in. And, you know, he's huge into football and inspiring the youth, and you could just see him presenting that through and through. You know, the whole time we were there, you know, we had moments with the kids where we were coaching some kids. And so to see how invested he was in that. But, you know, anytime you get to go to a bowl game and spend an extended period like that with the team is just awesome. You know, I think that's something you look forward to, going out early, doing all these team events, hanging out. And obviously the bowl provides great hospitality. So anytime you kind of get to go out with the buddies and somewhere you haven't been in a while is awesome.
Good food, good swag.
Absolutely.
Like, talk to me. Like, what were you guys able to grub on? What was that swag bag like?
Oh, you know Snoop took care of us, man. Yeah, yeah. He gave us a pretty cool Death Row chain afterwards. And so, obviously, we got some good gear and we got some rings coming on the way. So, yeah.
Who do you, as a captain, we're going to get into that stuff as well. Who decides on what the ring? Is it you guys? Do you even know what that looks like?
We've talked about it a little bit amongst us and Coach Entz. You know, he picked our brain about it. And so, yeah, we've kind of just told them what they've looked like in the past. And, you know, we'll go from there. And so it'll be good.
How did you get home from the game? Did you drive home with your family playing?
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I don't know how you found that out. But
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I had some – I had some buddies from high school, Zach Fish, Hayden Peterson, you know, my other buddy Jose, Tayson, guys, you know, I've grown up with, drove out to watch me play, you know, and my family was out there. They were staying another night, and my girlfriend and sister were out there and some family from Ohio, so I was like, man, you know, why fly home with the team when they're going to be here one more night? So they let me stay back, and then, you know, me and my buddies, we ripped 11 hours back from Tucson.
It's longer than you think,
isn't
it?
It was long, man. But to be able to, you know, spend that time with my family that night following the game, especially how the game went, you know, makes it a lot more enjoyable. And then the drive home, you know, it was a great time. Last time we're going to do that in a while. So, yeah, I thought take advantage of it.
That's awesome. That's great. How about during the game? Was there – what point in the game were you like – dude, we're kind of dominating these guys. When did you feel like the game really was in your favor? Obviously, you guys are clicking on defense, only allowed that one field goal. So, game wise, what does that feel like for you out there?
Yeah, it's been awesome to play on that unit this year, and you know, I think we could all say they jumped on us pretty early. You know, they had some momentum going. You know, we had a short drive, short field, and they took advantage. But you know, once Jakari had that interception, man, that just turned everything around. You know, that presented our offense with, you know, quick possession to get back on the field, and that's where we've dominated all year. You know, is long possessions on offense has made it easy on us defensively, and to set them up with some momentum, get their defense back on the field. And then I felt like that's where, you know, we kind of started to be able to flip the field and get some momentum defensively and start feeling good about ourselves. And then, you know, we had some plays. Once we made them one-dimensional outside of the run game, you know, that's when we really started to capitalize, because we played great pass defense all year. Coach Benedetto's done a great job. And, you know, the other coaches, Bresky, G. Lee, have done a great job in the run game stuff. And so, you know, our model all year has just been making teams one-dimensional. And so once we were able to do that with Miami, you know, with their quarterback issues, we felt really good. And that's when we started to really showcase our talents.
I agree. Yeah. Well said. That's kind of what I figured watching the game, listening to it a little bit while I was in the car. You know, you mentioned, you know, the defensive unit as a whole. Why do you think you guys clicked and were so successful and you know, just really, you know, dominated a lot of football games this year?
Yeah, man, I think during my whole time here, we've played pretty good defense, and we took a lot of pride in that. I think most Fresno State teams have, you know. And Coach Bandano came in, and he's like, listen, man, I've admired what you guys have done, and we just want to build on that. And, you know, me being a returning guy and being with this program, you know, you have a lot of pride with how you do things around here, you know, and Fresno State's a special place like that. And so he just came in, wanted to kind of add on to what we've done. And, you know, he's a great family guy. He's a leader in his house, and you see how his kids gravitate towards that and having his family around. He'd have us over for dinner. And so when you can, you know, we had a lot of guys in, and you got to build bonds really fast. And I think you saw those form throughout the year. And so just have that family environment, you know, as a defense, you got to be willing to play for each other out there, football in general. And so, you know, once we were able to kind of get past those humps of meeting new people in spring and summer and get more comfortable with one another, you know, I think you just saw things take off. And, you know, that's just a testament to Coach B and, you know, what the example he leads with every day.
Did you feel like you had a little more freedom defensively, like this year? What's the best way to frame that?
Yeah, I think I think it goes both ways. You know, we definitely had some freedom as well, but you're also teaching a new scheme, and so there's a lot of things, you know, we're integrating every week. Coach B does a great job. Benedetto, just honing in on the details. You know, one thing here, how can we get better here on the bad plays and the good plays? You know, and so there was a lot of learning moments, I think, for all of us. And, you know, you saw that pay off throughout the year as we continue to get better and better. And so it was awesome, yeah.
Your favorite win this year, obviously we talked about the bowl game, the swag you got, the drive home, all that stuff is way cool. Having a great game defensively. Like, what, the Boise game, right? I mean, is that the way that you lean, or are you just going to say all of them?
You know, the Boise one was super special.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, you go out there, win on the Blues, not something we've done very often, and to dominate them as we did, you know, hold them so few points defensively was awesome. But, you know, you can't overlook that Hawaii game either.
Oh.
Man, that was a special one. To go out there, it's hard to win out there, man. You got everything out there saying, you know, relax, you're on island time, you know. They've got a guy singing Hawaiian music pregame. It's sprinkling. You're on the beach, you know, even before the game. And so to be able to go out there, that was huge to turn our year around, kind of, or to give us some momentum. We were playing really well at that point, and that was huge in our conference play, even though we didn't make the championship. But, you know, that's a tough team to go out there and beat. And for us to play how we did defensively and the adversity, you know, we faced early, being down, I felt like that game brought us together really well with what we were able to accomplish. But that was a special one for sure.
It didn't end until the last play of the game. Like,
it went
right?
all the way to the end. And my parents were able to make it out to that one, which was awesome too.
Your favorite play this year? Wait, how many picks? Did you have two picks?
I had two picks this year.
All right. I mean, those were great.
Yeah, they were great.
But is there a couple other, maybe, I don't know, a big play? It doesn't even have to be by you.
I mean, no, I'm not even going to say one by me. I mean, Jaden Carrillo's play against Oregon State was unbelievable. You know, he's our special teams MVP this year. He was unbelievable on every unit. And, you know, we put a lot on his plate. And he's going to help this team in just vast ways defensively next year, apart from special teams. And, man, that play was huge going into half. And, you know, to see how hard that guy works and his sacrifice to the team to see it pay off, you know, that's the most rewarding thing for me as a leader or just a teammate. So to see guys like that, or even guys like Ryan Wilson having a pick early this year, was awesome for me. You know, that's a guy who, you know, I've built such a great relationship with this year, a guy that'll, you know, be in my wedding. So to see guys like that succeed, you know, who I've seen work so hard, those are two guys I just admire. But we've had so many guys like that this year who were playing their first few plays of college football. And so anytime you see something like that, you know, you get excited for him.
Even though he's from Clovis High?
Yeah. Well, I got my fair share against him. You know, I never lost to them, so I don't mind.
And I bet he knows that too, right?
Yeah,
you remind him of that?
Of course.
Just describe a little more, Cam, here with Cam Braca, just about what it meant for you to put on that Bulldog uniform, Bulldog helmet, and walk down that ramp, and just all that great stuff, what it means to be a Bulldog for you personally.
Yeah, I think it, you know, man, you got to hold on to the good times because they go fast, and it goes faster than you'd think. And, you know, I've enjoyed the heck out of it. I wish I would enjoy it more, believe it or not, you know. But, man, you know, I felt like it was just an awesome experience from my journey. And, you know, that's kind of Fresno State embraces kind of my journey, you know. And I was a guy who walked on. I didn't have many opportunities. And, you know, that's a place built on hard work, as you've seen throughout history there. And so just to be able to go do that and firsthand in front of my family, you know, my parents being alums, and, you know, having my grandparents at every game, and, you know, friends, and just playing in front of all of them was awesome for me. And, you know, an opportunity I'm so glad I was able to play there, and to meet all the people I did. But, you know, to think of me as a kid, you know, I never really believed, you know, it never was in the forefront of my mind to be on that stage and to be able to do it the way I did. You know, with all the support, and it's taken a village, man. But to be able to do it was awesome.
You remember the first time you walked down the ramp or first time you put on the uniform or were given your helmet? Which of those?
Oh, yeah. Man, was I nervous. I nervous wearing that helmet down there for the first time, looking around like, holy smokes, I gotta put on pads in a few days to tackle these guys. And but, yeah, it was all surreal. I remember seeing my name on the back of the jersey for the first time. And, you know, hits you fast. It's kind of unbelievable. But, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Let's go back. Let's walk back a bit. Again, I've watched you play at Buchanan, and then you decided to go to Fresno City. You talked about not very many offers, if any, out of high school. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, it was really nothing. You know, I was just a kid loving football. You know, I played for a great coach and Coach Gio, and, you know, we had a great staff around there, man. We were lucky. And Gio obviously went through City and had his time there, and there was a lot of us, you know. It was kind of a weird point in time with COVID, and, you know, I don't know, at least for me, if I was ready probably to go elsewhere and grow up a little bit. I had some growing up to do, so I was like, hey, why not just continue to play football with some of my buddies? We had probably 8 to 10 guys from my senior class going over to play, and so it was kind of like, hey, what a cool opportunity it'd be to keep playing with them. And, you know, I know Coach Gio's been there, and Hayden, one of my best friends growing up, was also going, and I was like, you know, I get another opportunity to kind of go play some football. Who knows where this is going to go? You know, I get to stay home, grow up, continue to be around the church and hang out, and so that was awesome, a great growing point for me.
So at what point did you like, hey, I think I could play at the D1 level, but what's going to happen at the at the end of City?
Yeah, you know, I was really lucky with some good teammates there that really built me up in that time, because, you know, like I said, I didn't have too many opportunities coming out of Buchanan, and so you kind of walk in there not really knowing what to expect. And, you know, I think really going, finishing that first year around some guys who had played D1, you know, and had assured me that, you know, you could do this. And then I went in to the offseason, put on 20 pounds, and had a great second year where I had some great accolades. And you know, I think from there you have this utter confidence in the Lord that he's going to just sustain you in some ways that you can't even fathom to imagine. And, you know, I just knew wherever I was going to get the opportunity that, you know, my goal was to impact my teammates around me, lead in my faith, and I knew everything from there would be taken care of as long as I worked hard and I had the right heart put into it. And so from that point, I just had a lot of confidence and knew it would be all right.
You knew the Lord was going to...
Yeah. No doubt.
Yep, make a pathway for you. No. All right. So how did you even land at Fresno State? Like, who? You're like, okay, I want to walk on. Yeah. Who do I contact? Like, what did that even look like for you?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind of a week. On, say, Monday, you know, Coach C over there, who's had a great career, retired this year, reached out to Coach Tedford and was like, here's a few of our top guys. Let me know what you think. And, you know, he called me over with one other guy. And, you know, it was like Coach C texted me. He's like, hey, tomorrow we're going to be at Fresno State in Coach Teddy's office. I was like, all right. I didn't even know how to tell my parents. Like, I waited a few hours, and I was like, well, we're going over to Coach Teddy's office tomorrow to kind of talk about some things. And so Wednesday we went in there. I met the coach and staff, and they're like, yeah, you got an opportunity to walk on here. And that was awesome. And it was bittersweet to hear, you know, I would have loved to be a scholarship guy, but I was like, you know what? I believe I can do this, you know. And so Wednesday that happens, and then that weekend they were having an official visits weekend. So they had a bunch of guys in there, and they were like, you're more than welcome to come. So I joined and just got to meet some more people and, you know, met a lot of my future teammates there, actually. And so that was pretty cool, but it was quite the week.
When did you realize that you belonged at the D1 level, right? I've talked to college guys, like, when does the game slow down? I mean, there's all different ways that you can kind of refer to, okay, I think I've arrived. I got a lot of work to do, but I think I can hang with these guys. Not only hang, but contribute to the team.
Yeah, it was quite the mental battle, I'd say, my first year. And, you know, I grew a lot. I had a great opportunity with a lot of great coaches that year. And, you know, the spring was just a learning period as you come in with such a different scheme. You know, we ran an NFL scheme that year with Coach Coyle, and so being able to kind of comprehend what we're doing and what he's trying to accomplish. And, you know, the summer was huge for me, putting on weight with Coach Ward, getting faster, and then we had a lot of practices, PRP practices, where I was able to kind of develop as well. And then fall camp, you know, I had a great fall camp. And there was one point, you know, as a walk-on, you think the coaches are going to be a lot harder on you.
Yeah.
And they are. They are. And I had a moment with one of our GAs, and I was like, man, I just feel like I can't do anything right, you know, sometimes. And it's frustrating, you know, it messes with your confidence as an athlete. And, you know, he just told me, you know, Coach Coyle just expects a lot from you. And from that point on, I was like, if he believes in me, I can believe myself. He's coached some great players throughout his time. And so if he sees something in me, then, man, what am I failing to see, you know? And so from that point on, I was like, man, this is mine to go take. And, you know, I still had some adversity that season playing. But, yeah, that I think that moment was a breakthrough for me.
The confidence thing is big, isn't
it's
it?
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Well, is it the speed of the game? Is it the comprehension part? Is it what is it for you that you felt like you made the leap physically?
Yeah.
All those things?
I think my biggest battle has always been in between my ears. And what am I telling myself after every play? You know, and I've worked hard to get here. And, you know, I got to trust that, you know, when I'm going out there, trusting the technique and trusting what the coaches are saying too and whatnot. And so I think just for me, you know, knowing I belong out there and believing my ability and just playing fast, not being a step behind or doubting what I'm thinking. And so as long as I'm out there playing fast, having fun, most importantly, you know, I'm playing well.
I agree. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. You did mention your faith and the path that, that the Lord brought for you.
Yeah.
Like a D1 athlete, right? Like the faith part has to be huge. You probably even wonder, like, how do other guys get through some of this stuff?
Yeah.
Men or women, right? Yeah. I mean, like, how did that play a part throughout the ups and downs?
Yeah, I think you've seen the Lord take a huge grip on college sports recently and even professional sports. And it's been huge in the U.S. How he's been able to just move so many athletes and move the youth. You know, you have to think how impactful that is for young kids to hear about their favorite athletes talking about their faith. But, you know, it brings so much balance, you know, especially with how many hours we're putting in every week. And, you know, sometimes that's the only thing you can think about. And so my biggest thing was, you know, how can I have this balance where I can leave football at football, you know, and it's not bringing me home. And of course those things got harder throughout my time and I brought on a bigger responsibility, but I always need some balance where, you know, say football was dropped, you know, who would I be? And I've got to understand that, you know, people love me for who I am, not just the football player I am, you know. And that also upholds that I've got to be a man of my word and a man of character outside of football. You know, I can't just be some guy that's, you know, puts on the helmet and acts a certain way and I go home and, you know, I'm not the man that I'm leading the people around me at the facilities. And so, you know, how could I be the same person no matter I'm the walk-on in the spring of 23 or I'm a team captain, however you want to look at it, you know, this season. And so that was my biggest point of emphasis.
Let me ask you this. What's like the greatest compliment you've ever received, or what could be the greatest compliment?
You know, I think this past bowl week, you know, my teammates kind of broke to me some habits they had been carrying and that I helped them break, you know. And, you know, as long as I could be a guy who transformed the guys around him, I think that's what, you know, I most want to be remembered for. You know, good players come and go, you know, but could I be a guy, you know, that impacts the guys around me, you know, motivates them to be better, because, you know, a lot of guys in that locker room motivate me to be better in the same way, you know. And so I hope that I was someone that was able to lead them to being a better man, you know, a better player, a better man for their future husband, father, you know, because those guys are family, man. You know, when my kids see those guys one day, you know, they'll know their names before they see them, and they'll be uncle my kids, so it'll be pretty cool.
Absolutely. Here with Cam Braca. Got about 5 more minutes with him. What's next? I saw your social media post, right? Working for the NFL. Like, you're already working out? You're letting your body take a week of rest?
Yeah, we're going to get rolling here soon. Yeah, we're going to get rolling. I've taken a little bit of time to kind of let things settle, and it's been a whirlwind of a few weeks, you know, coming from the bowl game to Christmas to New Year's, and so, but we're about to kick it back into gear, letting the body rest after, you know, a physical game a week ago, and so for me, it's always just letting my mind reset and kind of enjoy some time with some family and some friends while my siblings are home, you know, and whatnot, so yeah.
What do you guys do as a family? Are you guys board game people, or you go out there and play some two-on-two hoops?
Well, we compete in everything we do, you know. That starts with my parents for sure. But me and my dad and my brother, you know, we'll go out to golf. My sister, Bailey, she's getting into it as well. But we went out to dinner last night to celebrate my brother's birthday and, you know, my parents' barbecue, and we're just all hanging out. Playing card games for sure has been something big, or – watching sports and whatnot, but you know, these times are pretty special right now because we're not together as much as we used to be.
That's,
you know,
right.
And so just kind of enjoying the time we have together has been our point.
What card games do you play?
Gin Rummy.
All right,
been a good one recently. Code Names is one we play a little bit. Yeah, it's a good one.
Who do you match up well with that? Who's your partners? Like you and your brothers, sisters, like you guys are on the same wavelength?
Me, my brother, and my dad are probably pretty good. Those two think pretty well alike, my dad and my brother. And so, yeah, those are probably – we usually do boys against girls.
Yeah. So do you have an – I don't even know what that looks like, Cam. Do you have an agent already? Like, just kind of help me out what that looks like for
like
you. Even college students.
Yeah,
I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, even college athletes these days have agents. But, you know, we're kind of still in the process of it. And, you know, I'm going to be here locally training, so that's easy to figure out. But, yeah, it's definitely brings a lot to the table that we're dissecting. But, yeah, we're getting there.
All right. What's your weight at right now? What are you happy with where you're
at?
I'm
still at 190. So I was able to carry the weight really well this year, which is big. It's been something I've struggled with, but, you know, we played a totally different brand of ball this year with being more physical.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely a challenge putting on that weight and playing at a new weight, but you know, I trusted it and I was able to sustain that. And so, thanks to Coach Entz and Coach Ward for really committing to that. And, you know, I think you saw that pay off through the years. We were able to kind of impose our will on a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You follow the NFL, or is that hard to do when you're playing college ball?
It's definitely hard to do, but I keep up with it as much as I can.
Who's your team?
The Colts.
Oh. Yeah,
they had a heck of a start, man. But man, did they fall apart.
Would they have at one point a 94% chance
probably
to make the playoffs? And now it's zero.
Yeah, it's been fun to be an Indiana sports fan, though, recently. You know, we used to live right outside Indianapolis when I was a kid. And so Peyton Manning was my favorite player growing up. And so, you know, we followed him a little bit to the Broncos. And then when he was all said and done, you know, we settled with the Colts. And
all right.
But, you know, obviously Hoosiers are playing really well. My mom's from Columbus, so we're more Ohio State fans. But, yeah, the Colts are my team.
And the Ohio State game, that was a rough one.
That was. I know. I can't believe they didn't get it done. But I'm a Bulldog right now, so I'm all right.
You're all right.
I'm all right.
Your favorite NFL player? You have a dude?
Peyton Manning,
I'd still say.
I think there's some great safeties around the league, though. I think Kyle Hamilton's pretty fun to watch with how – you know, diverse he is and all the different places they play him, I think is pretty cool.
All right, Cam, got the minute and a half or so. What's the best way to wrap up? Again, you said it, things happen fast. Life happens fast. Here you are. You said you listened to me while you were in high school. Now you're sitting across from me after concluding 5 years of playing college football. What's the best way to wrap up what that meant to you and how you come out a better man for it?
Yeah, I think you know, I'm just thankful for the people that were around me and, you know, helped me get here, you know, whether that was when I was walking on or finishing, you know, people have just been so consistent. But, you know, as I look forward, you know, I can't wait to, you know, bring my kids back to that stadium and kind of tell them about the memories, you know, me and my family, you know, we made throughout our time there and just how special it was. And, you know, I really did grow up a lot from that point at City to here. Meeting so many new different people, and, you know, I had a lot of special people that helped me get here. But I'm excited just to come back one day and, you know, show my kids some of my memories, talk through them, and, you know, have them meet my teammates and, you know, us just debrief on kind of things we were able to do. So it'd be fun.
Take a stroll through Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, man. Through Veterans, through Radcliffe. I remember before my last year at City going over to see kind of that wall of fame, seeing Gio's name before it. And so we'll see if I'm up there one day. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Great stuff. Cam, well, it was a pleasure to watch you all these years and to see you grow from not only the football player to where you are now to the man that you are today. And
thank
a
you.
Lot of people listening just love your story and
appreciate
follow number 22 on the field wherever you were at and making great plays and interceptions. And that Michigan game, we even talk about that Michigan game, kind of a big moment for you as well. How you guys were able to handle you, especially able to show yourself on the field. But, hey, thanks for coming in first string.
Thank
I know
you.
Busy time, right? Life's spinning and moving real fast. So let your body rest, let your mind rest, and get back after it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Paul. Happy New Year. It's going
to
be fun.
Happy New Year to you. All right, it's Cam Baraka. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to come back a little after 11 o'clock. We're going to have Lee Mayberry, head coach at Clovis High School. Next on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to our number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. That's where you're listening to the show. Or maybe you're listening back from the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go back and listen to any part of the show that you missed or any other episodes that you may have missed or just want to listen to again. I'm okay with that. That's cool. Hopefully you guys were able to hear my interview with Cam Baraka from Buchanan, Fresno City, Fresno State. Just a great example of what it means to work hard, to work through things, to not having any Division I offers. After having a really good year at Fresno City, walking on to Fresno State, earning a scholarship, being one of the best defensive players in the Mountain West this year. So just a great story. Go back and listen if you miss it. Please, please do. You guys won't regret it. We're going to be bringing on Coach Lee Mayberry from Clovis High School. His Cougars are 15-3, looking really strong this year. Going to be opening up track play next week. Coach Mayberry is going to be here in a few minutes. And you guys know I love to prepare for the show. I love the news and notes section. I love bringing you information, my own thoughts about teams and rankings and fun stats and fun facts and all that stuff. So I want to go over some of the rankings right now in basketball. I mean, teams have played close to 20 games already. We are now entering league play. So the different phases of the basketball season. Don't want to forget you, soccer and wrestling as well, but the kind of the phase of basketball is non-league, tournaments, league, and then postseason. So league is about to start. On the boys' side, and I'm looking at Max Preps right here, and my thoughts about Max Preps are, right, computer rankings. They take in strength of schedule, factor all that stuff out, and then, boom, post whatever their rankings on. Then there's the eyeball rankings that obviously most people prefer. So according to Max Preps, and I'll go over mine, I got a top five. Right? I could even go over top 10 for Max Preps. I got St. Joseph, 15-1, playing a national level schedule. They've been overseas a couple times this year. 15-1, they're the number one ranked team. Max Preps has Buchanan at number two. This is boys. San Joaquin Memorial at three. Clovis High at number four. Clovis North at five. Clovis North is only 9-8. This season. Buchanan 16-2, Memorial 12-3. And then there's Bakersfield Christian at 7-7, Clovis West at 12-6, Tulare Union. We'll be talking with Coach Hatton around 11:35 today, 15-1 at number 8. Centennial Bakersfield 8-3. And then there's Kingsburg at 13-3. That's Max Preps. Now, St. Joseph, clear cut number one. Nobody's going to argue that. Now, San Joaquin Memorial, or how about Bakersfield Christian at number two? The reason why I say Bakersfield Christian, even though they're only 7-7, they beat San Joaquin Memorial last week, guys, or this past week. 69-55, I believe, was the score at the Tarkanian tournament. Yeah, so there's that. And then you can throw Buchanan. Clovis North down this year a little bit, played a really tough schedule. Clovis West could be there. Clovis High. Tulare, right? A couple really good guards. Are they in that upper echelon? No, don't think so. They're not going to be D1 in the playoffs. So that's what I got. The girls' side, no question about it, right? Clovis West, number one. They finally lost. They lost to Bishop Gorman for their first loss, 17-1, I should say. Strength of schedule is pretty good. However, Clovis High has the best strength of schedule, according to Max Preps. Carruthers is number two. So if you could say Clovis West, number one, Clovis High, number two or three, Buchanan's up there having a great year, but Buchanan lost to Carruthers. Buchanan's 16-2, Carruthers 7-4, but Carruthers beat Buchanan. And you got Emmanuel there at number four, according to Max Preps, at 13-3. Strength of schedule is actually pretty good. 15.0 is their strength of schedule. Then, again, this is the girls. You have Centennial. Centennial having a good boys and girls year so far. They're at number five. Frontier at number seven with Max Preps. Bakersfield Christian at eight. I would put Central East up there as well in the eyeball top five. Max Preps has them at number nine. Clovis North having a good year. 13-5 so far. Menachi. We talked about them the last 3 years. They're down a little bit. 11-4, number 11 overall. One of their best players did transfer to Clovis High. Not sure if she's eligible yet. But there's a little snapshot of what's going on with girls basketball. Click on Clovis West's schedule. I know there's always showcases that they have as well. Their next game is going to be Fairmont Prep. Actually, that's today, 5:30. And then league is going to start on the 9th. They're going to be playing Central East. League's going to be starting. The track in both boys and girls is loaded as always, right? Buchanan, like I mentioned, boys and girls doing very, very well, especially since Coach Orlich took over the program. Adam Wall's done a fantastic job with the girls program. Coach Orlich's an absolute legend. Very fine season again this year. I wish they were stuck around, I'll be honest, a little bit more around here during Christmas time so we could get some eyeballs on it. So I haven't watched Buchanan play this season. I did mention the Clovis West boys team. Coach Jackson, Tyrone Jackson, taking over the program. We're going to get him on the show here in the next couple weeks. Great guy. Knows the program through and through, was part of Vance Wahlberg's team as a player, his lead assistant when Wahlberg returned to Clovis West. Their main dude, Jace Kellogg, is having a phenomenal season. I'm sure you've seen pictures. He's got that big old hairdo. Can't miss when he walks into the gym. But the dude is an absolute player. He scored 52 points, a new school record, in a 100-83 win over West of Tracy. I think it was not this last week, but the week before. 52. So I got to watch Cole Anderson's 50-point game through three quarters against Garces. That game was on a Saturday at 3, where Cole broke a Central Section record with 10 straight three-pointers. It was one of the greatest shooting performances of all time. Went 9-for-9. In the third quarter. And actually, Coach Wahlberg didn't play him after that. I think it was like a 26-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. Wahlberg decided to sit him in that fourth quarter. I'm curious how many points he would have been able to score in that one. But Jace Kellogg, he's got that Euro step that's incredible. It's unbelievable. He gets the ball off against bigger defenders. Does a great job, but 52 points for Jace Kellogg earlier this week. And just as I'm talking a little bit more about track basketball, Lee Mayberry walks into First String Sports. Coach, you made it.
I did. I apologize. I'm never. This is crazy. If you ask my kids, I'm too early all the time. So this is a first. So
We won't tell them, even all though we're live on air. We won't tell them. All right. Mercies abound, right? Well, first of all, welcome here First String Sports. Absolutely. And welcome to the show. New Year's, Christmas time. Now that you're a head coach, you got a lot more responsibilities. Is that kind of a whirlwind time for you, able to relax and spend some time with family, though?
Yeah, you know, it was brief, a couple days, you know, because we're in Vegas, and then we come back, we have 2 days, and then we're, you know, hosting the Elks. So it was a quick turnaround, but it was good to get some time. You know, my kids came back from out of state, so it made it nice. But, yeah, it was a whirlwind.
Where are your kids at right now?
So I have one in Texas and one in Montana.
Oh. Yeah. So getting them back is a treat.
It is.
It's a treat for you
guys.
They don't
come back very often, so it was good to see them.
That's great. That's great. All right. So let's get into some Clovis High basketball.
Absolutely.
Guys are having a great year. 15-3. The only game that I've been able to watch for you guys this year is that game against San Joaquin Memorial.
Yeah, that was tough.
Well, the first quarter was tough, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Memorial played about as perfect a quarter as possible. You guys played them even for those other three quarters. Just kind of give us a little snapshot of your team this year. Who is some of your standout guys and what the team's MO is?
You know, we're really, to me, young. And I say young not necessarily in grade or age, but just in experience. You know, we've got probably three kids that really played a lot last year in track, in conference, and the rest really were either JV or they didn't get on the floor a lot. So that's when I say young, that's what I mean with young. So it's developing that culture and understanding what it takes to win. We've done well so far, but it's not the track. It's a whole nother level. You know, the Memorial game really epitomizes what we're going to see in the track. That kind of intensity and physicality is what we're going to have to, you know, be ready for. So I'm happy with the guys so far, the progress so far. Got a long way to go. I like, you know, obviously, you know, the two of the kids that everybody watches is Anthony, you know, and Syer. So Syer Harbin, Anthony Smith. Everybody sees them because they're out in front with the ball. And they're dynamic and they're really good. But, again, trying to get them to coexist and play together is something we work on daily. And then we have, you know, Jackson Scarborough, Roman Felix. So, again, you know, Jackson played, he's played, he's weathered, you know, some of the storms. Roman's new. He hasn't been out there and seen the kind of physicality.
Freshman.
Intensity physically is unbelievable. You know, the ceiling for him is, you know, I tell him all the time, man, you could be special if you want to be. You know, and we got Damon Jackson who's shooting the lights out right now. He's really shooting the ball well. But everybody has something they need to work on. And again, I tell them it's we, not me right now. So the things that you don't do well, I don't want to see you doing those right now. Do the things that are going to make us successful. So getting those kind of things. I know I'm rambling, but staff is unbelievable too.
Oh, I saw the staff when I kind of sit behind your bench for a little bit for the first half. I'm like, you put yourself together a nice little staff. Who you got on the staff?
So we got Shannon Taylor. So, you know, I watched him, kind of dating myself a little bit, watched him when he was at Bullard, played with his brother. Loved what he brings to us. Brandon Sperling, who I said was my favorite player I ever coached at Buchanan, and period. His IQ, his maturity when he was in high school is unmatched, and he brings that to us here. We got Noel Felix, who, again, you know, Fresno State alum. Again, phenomenal basketball mind, really good with the kids. And we got Marcel Sanders, who arguably has run the best AAU program in this area for years. So, and the combination of them is just, I say they're the reasons we're doing what we're doing. They're the all-star team. They're the ones that make us go. I just kind of steer the ship and let them do what they do and get out of their way. And I think that's really, to me right now, to this point, you know, the kids are playing well, but I think the coaching staff has just been phenomenal, the way that they've turned the kids around.
What's been some of the things that you and your staff have been preaching since day one? Like, what do you really want to instill with the program?
We've been teaching intensity. And competing. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, competing. But our definition of competing is every play you're maximizing your effort, your energy. And it's not just physically. It's mentally. What are you doing mentally? Because you can play hard and it's wasted effort. You got to play mentally, too. You got to really challenge yourself. So I think competing, intensity and physicality. I think that, you know, the kids sometimes, when they get tired, the physicality goes away. And so we're really trying to push through that and let them know if you want to be like a Buchanan, a Clovis North, a Clovis West, those are the things that separate them, is that when times get tough, they get tougher. And so I think we've really been preaching that part to them is that, you know, when there's some adversity, embrace that adversity and let's go get it.
there is some specific moments where you've seen on the court, like, hey, they're kind of – I know you said long way to go, right? Yeah, long way to go. But some specific moments, you're like, hey, we're kind of getting it.
Yeah, I honestly, it would have been the game against George Washington in Vegas, that championship game for our bracket. We go down. I think we went down 9 or 10. And so it was one of those moments, hey, and we're talking, you know, as a coaching staff, hey, what are we going to do? You think we're going to, you know, turn it around? And those kids, man, they had that adversity. And I'll tell you what, they challenged themselves, got after it, and they matched and actually increased the intensity that they were seeing. And so I think we were down 9 or 10, and we ended up going up 9 or 10. And so that was strictly through basic playing defense and just diving for loose balls, attacking the basket, not settling. And I think that was kind of the moment we thought, hey, if we can capture this and have this the rest of the year, we could be pretty special. But again, it's hard and it requires max effort. And so that's the young part of it.
Are you able to simulate that in practice very often? It's hard, right? Because you don't want to beat each other up, right? I mean, I'm sure you've been in some pickup game scrimmages and whatnot. It's like coming back with, you know, with bloody lips and all that stuff. But how are you able to try to simulate that?
It's a fine line. But we try to do the best we can. Everything's competitive that we do. So there's a, you know, if you don't win, you're going to run, those kind of things. And by the way, the running's part of it, and, you know, athletes, that's not their favorite thing to do. But I think more than that, the kids being on each other about I won and you lost kind of thing. So they do it to themselves, and so they don't want to lose to each other. So I think we've really tried to create that in them, that everything we do, we compete at. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's free throws, if we're running, you know, who's going to be first, those kind of things. So just really creating that culture in them.
So looking at your schedule, so that George Washington game that you mentioned, 75-68 back on the 23rd. So you guys have won 11 straight. You played Hoover on the 30th. You beat them 74-52. Obviously the kids know the record. You guys know the record. Guys like me know the record. But what are you guys like, hey, we do all those little things you're kind of talking about. The game will take care of itself. Is that kind of what you've been preaching as well?
Absolutely. You know, and it's – this the next game, and have a cornerback's mindset. You make a mistake, hey, next play, make it up. I tell the kids all the time, you know, you're building credit in your bank. So if you're diving on the floor, if you're getting rebounds, if you're defending, those are all credits to your account. And so when you have a mistake, okay, well, we'll just take one of your credits, but you go back and earn another one. So really getting that mindset of just being a cornerback, forget it, next play. As far as the team goes, it's the next game. And don't read into what the record is. Whether, you know, you think that the teams we played weren't so good or they were, you know, regardless. And we told them, by the way, we're 0-0 right now. Track starts, I break it down to books in a chapter. Books. I go, you know, first chapter is introduction. How is the season going to, you know, how can it go? And so I think we did a good job with the introduction. I said, now we got the body of the book, you know. So we got to see. What does his body look like? And then we'll have the conclusion based on what we do in the body. So I told them, hey, we're going to start writing this book for the body, for the body. So let's see what happens.
You guys are taking on Buchanan. You mentioned track's a different animal, right? You've been to a lot of track games throughout your career as well. You guys know what you guys are up against. At Buchanan, jump right into the fire there on the ninth. Like, what are you expecting in track, and then what are you expecting at Buchanan on that first game?
Well, track is just a juggernaut. I mean, every game that you play, everybody's bringing their max effort. Legendary coaches, phenomenal coaching. You know, you talk about Buchanan, one of the legends. I mean, Tom Warlick, just look at what he's done, not record-wise, but just at programs. Look at Buchanan. You know, coming off of their championship. So we're going against the defending champs, and they got a lot of players back from that team. They know how to win. They know how to fight through adversity. They know who they are. And Tom does a phenomenal job of taking away what you do well and then maximizing what they do well. So it's going to be a challenge for our players, for our coaching staff, to be prepared to see what he has in store for us. But we're excited. We're excited. We embrace that challenge, and that's why we play the game.
Walk me through here, Lee, just kind of your journey to become the head basketball coach at Clovis High, director of sport.
Right.
And that's how they call it, Clovis Unified. I don't want to miss that, director of sport. Just about that journey. And I think we're the same age.
Yeah.
Did you even expect at this time that you're going to be wearing that Clovis Cougar jacket?
Not at all. You know, it no way in on the earth did I ever expect that this would happen. So, you know, it really started at Buchanan with Coach Ferdy coming on his staff in the early 2000s, coaching with him. And then obviously Coach Swain comes in. We have a great run with Coach Swain. I was with Coach Dittman for a little bit, and I switched over with Coach Steele at Buchanan. And so, you know, worked with the girls. My daughter played on the team at that time. And then from Coach Steele, I kind of took a break. I did AAU. I worked with Coach Sanders, his program, the Swoosh program. And I took the it was actually my youngest son's age group. Had a lot of success with that. Really enjoyed that. And then when my son was at West, unfortunately couldn't play a lot because of some knee stuff. But got to watch him play, which was kind of the focus for me to get away from the game. Still continued the AAU part. And then when he was done, I said, you know what, I think it's time to, you know, get back in it. And I didn't necessarily think as a head coach or director of sport. I thought maybe get on, you know, get on a crew, on a coaching staff. And then Clovis High opportunity opened up. I looked at it, and people won't believe me, but I honestly can say I didn't really know other than Anthony. And he was, you know, he's young, freshman, and Damon on the team. I really didn't know anything else and who was going to be there or who wasn't going to be there, but thought, man, this is a great opportunity. I kind of saw some similarities with Buchanan when I started in the early 2000s with that community and their thirst for be successful in basketball. Really, basketball has been the thing that they've kind of not been successful at in the last couple of years. And I know Coach Hines, and I want to give him a lot of credit. What we're doing here isn't just us. These are things that he's built up in that program as well. Where the things didn't go the way that, you know, he wanted or that they should have or not, he plays a big part in where we're at today. And I want to give him a shout-out and a lot of credit for that because these kids are prepared, and we're just really maximizing what he's done and then adding to it for us. So, you know, that opportunity presented itself. I said, I think I'm ready to do this. And I had told people for years, I will never coach in Clovis Unified because of the director of sport and all that it encompasses. It is a lot. You know, I challenged my kids and I challenged myself. And so, like I said, went through the process and ended up getting the job, was excited about it. And, you know, here we are.
Were you nervous that first game?
I was, absolutely.
Leaning on your coaches a little bit.
Oh, I was.
Thought, right?
Especially, you know, with McLean. You know, they're playing extremely well.
They get after it, too.
Yeah, Coach Joshua Ray, he's doing a phenomenal job over there. Get after it. So definitely was nervous about that one and glad that we got a W for sure.
Is this – you talk about AAU, but this is your first director of sport job in Clovis Unified, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're on campus as the chief of police for Clovis Unified as well.
Right, yeah. So
just
I'm actually
through
at the
that.
Yeah, I'm at the district office
okay. As
the chief. And so, you know, overseeing all of the police officers that are in the district. And it's great because I also have a great crew over there, you know, that's working with me. I've got, you know, Lieutenant Hector Becerra, who does a phenomenal job helping me out. So it's all working together. Being there for as long as I've been there, I kind of have an idea of how things run and hope that we don't have anything that, you know, is significant that pulls me away from basketball. And that's what I said during my interview. I won't be missing basketball unless there's something that's so significant that pretty much everybody's going to be affected or touched by. So other than that, we have a good system down and we're doing a good job. And it's who you put around you.
Sure.
Makes you what you are. And so, the staff that I have at the police department there has been phenomenal. The administration, you know, Dr. Dilley, believing in me, you know, Mr. Lucas, Mr. Baljeet, all having that faith. And Mr. Hardwick, you know, he went with us to Vegas, and I saw, you know, he was enjoying himself watching us play. So it was good.
Yeah, all good people.
Absolutely.
All good people that you surrounded yourself with. And it's not that far of a drive, right? If you're at the district office, boom.
Yeah. Just
Fowler Avenue. And
yeah. And I live right down the street, which even makes it even better.
There you go.
Yeah, it makes it tough to get out here, though. But, you know.
I know. A little bit longer than you thought. You got to hit those street lights on green.
Yeah, absolutely.
On green. That's the key, man, to kind of first string sports from that area.
Yeah,
I know it's a little bit longer than you think.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
It's 25 minutes from my house. I live around the corner, too. So it's like, okay.
No, it was.
Quite a drive.
Yeah.
Let's get into Fresno State a little bit. We got about 3 or 4 minutes with you. You know, again, I mentioned we're about the same age, right? Graduated in 94 from Fresno State. That was your last year. It was my last year at Fresno Pacific. And you were at that Selland Arena game, too.
Yeah,
how cool was that,
was
man,
really
to
nice.
See to
it
see
was.
Some of your guys?
Brought back great memories and seeing some of the guys come back into town and the energy. in the stands. It was really, it brought back a lot. And so we, all the alumni that, you know, I talked to were excited about it and actually hope that it continues. It's not a one and done, that, you know, they're able to do that some more times here in the future.
Did the court look different for me?
Yeah, it did.
Did it feel different? Do you have your certain spots? You're like, I know you're a post-up guy, right? Yeah. You liked yourself on the block. Did you find yourself just kind of hanging out by the block area?
I just love being on the floor, period. And I'm glad they didn't ask me to run, because that would have been a problem. But, no, I just love being on the floor and yeah, going down there and seeing. And it's different, you know, when you get down there now at this age and look at it, it's like, wow, that's a long floor to be running back and forth. And that basket looks really high. So it didn't look that way when I played. But, no, it was great. Brought back a lot of good memories.
What were some cool memories? I mean, obviously, it got really loud at that game.
Oh,
and I went to games back in the day, too. I got to watch you play, and it was loud back then.
Yeah.
Like, is that kind of one of the things, just to how loud it got, the energy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, Seattle talks about they have the 12th man and Texas A&M, but I think we had the 6th man in Celand Arena for all those years. Incredibly loud, especially the last year when we had some success against USC, BYU. You couldn't even hear yourself. I mean, it was amazing. We loved it. That was the energy that we need. I know for USC, definitely put us over the top, gave us that extra boost. And so, you know, speaking of games, those two games specifically were really, really big. You know, me coming, transferring from Wyoming, beating them was great. So a lot of great memories. And more than the playing was our team. You know, we try and get together at least once a year and go watch a game somewhere. So we'll see what happens now with me doing what I'm doing. I don't know if that'll be, something we'll be able to do, but we'll try to do that. But it was a great time and really good guys. You know, Coach Colson kind of let us go, let us play, and I think that we took advantage of that.
Carl Ray Harris.
Oh, my goodness.
Legend.
Explosive athlete.
Which dunk was your favorite? A lot of people, those Long Beach State, Ray.
I can't remember which game, but I know he was coming down the floor and caught it and reversed it in the air. It's alley-oop to him. It was kind of a full court pass or a half court pass, and he catches it and reverse dunks it. It's unbelievable. And he's in a dead sprint when he takes off, and there's no gather. That's the kind of an athlete he was. He's just off the floor in a heartbeat, and then he's up on the rim with his head. And so I think that's the one that I was like, wow.
And powerful.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rattle the rim.
Absolutely. Big, strong hands and just a powerful, powerful athlete.
Did you play against some future NBA dudes? Did you put a couple of your, offensive rebound, put it back up against some dudes?
Yeah, Theo Ratliff.
Yeah.
You know,
that guy could block a shot.
Yeah. And, you know, I had my career best game in points and not rebounds, but points. I think I had 19 rebounds at Wyoming against him. So that was one. Van Horn, he was young,
Keith.
So we took care of took care of him when we played. So that was good. But yeah, there's been a few, and but hey, you know, at the end of the day, they made it to get that cup of coffee, and I didn't. But it was great, you know, just competing against them and seeing them, especially, you know, we saw Michael Finley when he was young, and some
Wisconsin?
Of those guys. Yes,
yeah,
he was at Wisconsin. We saw him in Hawaii at a tournament. We were in Hawaii, so that was really good to see. And then, you know, not at Fresno State, but at Wyoming. Played against a bunch of, you know, Antonio Davis and Foster and all those guys, and Luke Longley. And so we saw a lot of competition.
From Australia, seven-footer.
Yeah, absolutely. He was his legs were as big as I was back then. So, but, yeah, it was great to experience that and play against. And that's what you want. You want to play against the best and challenge yourself. And I think that, you know, we did that at Fresno State. I tried to do that personally, and I'm trying to instill that in my kids. Don't you know, shy away from it. Embrace it.
Wow, I've seen it already, Coach, and I won't mention the Askia Jones game. Right? When people bring that up, you want to what do you want to do? You want to punch him in the face, or what do you want to do?
If we just give him 40, we win. If we just give him 40. If he has a career game, which would have been a career game for him, we win. So, yeah, I don't like talking about that one. I think everybody on our team guarded him at one point, and it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the rest of the schedule for you today? You guys got some you already did some shoot-arounds?
We had practice this morning.
Okay.
It went well, I think, just trying to build. And so the rest of the day will be some football, watch a little bit of football, and watch film, of course, a lot of film. And so once we get that done, get some rest and get ready to rock and roll this week.
Can't wait. I'm excited for you,
absolutely,
man. If you're going to walk into a Clovis High basketball game, you're going to see some guys are getting after it, guys that are gelling well together, putting up some points, but playing some good defense. Yeah. Credit you and your staff. Coach John Hines laid the foundation.
Absolutely.
But, hey, excited for you to come on and excited for you to watch your team play in track and beyond.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite. And, again, next time I won't be late.
All right. I'll hold you to it.
All right.
Thanks, Lee.
Appreciate you, Paul.
All right. Lee Mayberry talking Clovis High basketball. We're going to bring on Mark Hatton to Larry Union, the all-time winningest boys basketball coach in Central Section history on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
All right. Welcome back to our final segment, Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. And I got Coach Mark Hatton on the line right now, head coach at Tulare, 16-1 this season, the all-time winningest coach in Central Section history. I think, Coach, what, are you at 582 now?
582, brother, but who's counting?
582. We all are counting, absolutely. They won the Pauley last week for the first time in school history. Kind enough to join us on the phone right now. So 582, put it in the books. How are you feeling, right? We got Christmas and New Year's. It's probably all-time winningest coach, Central Section history, winning the tournament. It's probably been a pretty fun and wild last couple of weeks for you, hasn't it, Coach?
It really has been. I felt like the kids needed a little bit of time off, so we actually took almost 5 days off after the Pauley, and then went up to Roosevelt and played really well last night. Beat them 73-33. So we're now 16-1, and we've got Edison at Edison on Tuesday night at 6:30. And then we open with League at home next Friday night.
Awesome stuff. Are you able to stay up past midnight on New Year's? Or are you one of those guys, or are you like turning in early on these days now?
Absolutely not. I am out like a candle. I do driver's ed lessons in the morning, so I'm up at 7 a.m. giving kids, teaching them how to drive, so I'm an early bird.
I'm curious, Coach, how much that meant to you and your family and the community and to Larry Union High School for just all those things that you were able to accomplish. I know it takes a team effort. You know, there's tons of people that have poured into you, into your coaching career, but just kind of just frame it how much it meant to you and the community by not only getting that record, but winning the tournament.
Well, it was actually our second win of the Pauley, but it's been so long since we won it. 1973 was the last Pauley championship. So we wow. only have two in school history. And for me, it was my first Pauley championship, and I had been chasing that tournament since I was 16 years old. It starts at home, Paul. It really does. My wife is my athletic director, and we have a solid athletic foundation. And it just expands with the parents of my kids and then to my kids. And we're a tribe family, and it was just an excellent experience for everybody that was involved. My kids deserved all the credit of the 4 days of basketball that they performed in.
How did you guys celebrate? Do you guys go out to eat, or you just go home and take it in?
We went to me and Ed's Pizza, and we fed them until they couldn't eat anymore, and we just shared in the reveille. It was just an awesome experience. Happy with the way our kids played. Dimash and Braden were just outstanding. And we beat some good teams. I mean, Sanger's outstanding, and Kingsburg's a heck of a basketball team. And we went through Frontier in the second round. So we were challenged, and it's made us better.
Let's talk about your team a little bit more, get into the dynamics that you guys have out there. I was able to watch, actually, we broadcast your game last year against Tulare Western, and obviously follow the football team, and those two guys that you mentioned are incredible athletes. But just talk about this year's team. What's the team's MO? What do you guys do really well?
We're just so fast. We'll pick you up baseline to baseline, and we'll guard you from the time the game starts until the time the game ends. And I got a chance to go down to SoCal and go to the Torrey Pines Classic and see some high-level basketball. And I felt really good about our pressure after seeing what was going on down there. We're conditioned at a high level. The kids want it extremely badly, and they just work so darn hard. And then we got some size. Keanu Kennedy down low and Shante Kimball. Melvin Lopez off the bench. We go 8-9 deep, and they're fun to watch.
Defensively, right? defense can turn into to offense really quick with those guys. How fun is it to know that you defensively can just, even if you're not shooting the ball well on this particular night, that your defense can pick it up, get the ball up court, and turn them into layups with some of your speed?
Well, we don't want it to turn into a half-court game, and I think that's what happened a little bit against Madera when we got upset in the finals of our tournament. I think we learned something from that game. Our pressure just wasn't right where it needed to be, and our defensive intensity wasn't where it needed to be, so we suffered the consequences. But it starts. It starts with our fast break. We tell them, you know, it's hard for me to say it because I'm an old Boston Celtic fan, but we want to play Showtime basketball, and we want to go baseline to baseline and get the ball down and get a shot as quickly as possible and press as quickly as possible, and that's just kind of our style.
So you mentioned the speed, and Dimash and Braden, two stud football players. Just for those that are listening right now, just kind of explain what they bring to the courts just as far as their intensity, their fearlessness, and what they can bring to the court for your 16-1 team.
Well, I had a hard time explaining Maj to people. And then one of my buddies in coaching came and saw him. He hadn't seen us play in a couple of years. And he goes, you know what? He reminds me of Rafer Alston and how he used to just be smooth and explosive at the same time. And that's probably a pretty good description of Maj. And he shoots the ball so darn well. And then Brayden is just chaos. He plays so hard and he's so fast. And, you know, the 6'5", 6'6", 6'8 kids, they're waiting at the rim for him, and he just challenges them. He just keeps climbing the ladder. That big kid out of Kingsburg who's so good, Braden just challenged him. And for his size, that's just an incredible thing.
I'm curious how you're able to share those guys in the summer with all the football stuff. When do you actually see them get on the court?
Well, what we do is the nice thing about it is we've got a low heat open gym summer, and we know that that's kind of their football time. And we, both programs, one of them lifting weight rooms, one of them in the weight room lifting. So it's not really as hard as you think it might be. But once we get them, man, they turn their focus and they go because they love basketball and they love to compete.
What is your relationship with the football program? I know you guys have been together for a long time, but what does that look like for you guys when, you know, you're sharing two of the best athletes in the Central Section?
That is that's an interesting question. I would have to think longer to ponder about that. My focus is on the kids completely.
Got it.
So when I get in their mind and I cheer for them, I want them to play football as long as they possibly can. You know, I was heartbroken when they lost this year. I was expecting not to get them until, you know, four or five games into the season. So it's just one of those things. It's when we get them, they're ours. And when the season's over, we turn them over to track and baseball. That, you know, our school cannot, we have to have kids that play 200 sports.
What, really quick, Coach, before I want to ask you about your career, your coaching career. How many kids go to Tulare Union right now? What's your population?
We're supposed to be around 1550, but I think we're below 1500 right now. So we're not that big.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say, 1500 to 1600. So that sounds about right. And I think the population has stayed the same, pretty consistent over your time there, right? It hasn't fluctuated too high or too low.
Correct. And obviously when Mission Oak opened the doors, that changed things a little bit. We were, both Western and us were busting at the seams until Western opened. But, you know, a few years ago, we had a boundary change that really set us back for about 3 or 4 years. We had a tough time responding to that boundary change. But, you know, we made it through it and made us better.
Yeah, I think Clovis Unified and the people listening around there know exactly what that means and what that's going to look like for the future of schools. That's always a hot topic. So you did mention that you've been
– yeah,
yes, exactly. Right? If we had more time, we could dive into that. But you mentioned that you've been chasing that tournament title since you were 16 years old. You played at Mount Whitney, I believe 1983 is when you graduated. Is that tournament just – kind of broken your heart over the years? Like, or what's a good way to explain? Is it a love-hate relationship with the tournament, or what does that look like for you?
The biggest problem is that we were so highly when I was a senior, we made it through Robert Locke and Reedley's team. Robert was a standout at Kentucky, and we beat them handily. And we beat Hanford, and we got into the finals against Redwood when we were expecting to play Lemoore. And I just think we came in there overconfident. My senior year, we went 21-4, and two of our losses were to Redwood. We played them four times total. You know, it was just seeing them in the finals and not playing well. I think it was a huge disappointment. And then after that, you know, I was exhilarated when we made it to the finals when I was at Corcoran against Brad Felder's Hanford teams that were loaded. And we played really well, lost, I think, by 11 that night. But that was a huge thing for our community, so I can't call that a hateful thing. But we've had a couple times where we've been at Tulare Union where the expectations were that we wanted to win that, and we didn't. So it's been a battle. I mean, it's a hard thing, especially for us, because we're at the third leg of a tournament, and we're a pressure basketball team. Usually we're pretty tired by the end of December.
And one of the things I love about that tournament is that it stayed true to that format. Yeah, you see a lot of, you know, brackets and pool play and whatnot. But, man, give me that old school 16-team bracket, right?
Well, I really want to get out there and get some people educated on this. Because when we were in high school, we understood that the Poly was the first 16-team tournament in the state of California. It was started by the legendary COS coach, Paulie Willems, and who had a coaching tree full of coaches when I played. And it was just such a important event to them because of all the things that Paulie had done for basketball in the area. And it's just important that we keep that tournament as prestigious as it's supposed to be. And I thought that the draw of the teams this year was outstanding. There were some very good basketball teams. Loved having Sanger in there. Hanford back in there and Lemoore back in there is just huge teams to have into it. And in the past, it's always been a determiner of who's the best team in Kingston, Tulare County going into the league. So I think it's a great test, and I just hope it continues to prosper because it's an important tournament. And sometimes traditions are lost, and I hope that's one we don't lose.
Hear, hear. I wholeheartedly agree. So we got about five more minutes with you, Coach, but I'd love to hear about your coaching career. You mentioned Corcoran and where you started off.
Yeah.
Again, it's been quite a career. Your all-time leading wins getter for basketball in the Central Section. But just kind of talk about your coaching career and where you started and up until now.
Well, after graduating from Eastern Oregon University, he came back and worked with Rex Robertson at Golden West High School. Spent two great years there. And then Tom Gianpietro and Gene Etheridge brought me over to Orosi. And I was actually an assistant at Orosi for 2 years at the beginning of my career. And then Stan Carasosa brought me to Corcoran, and that's where things just exploded. We were able to win two section titles over there. We went to the state tournament six times, won a couple hundred basketball games. In 9 years, just had a tremendous run there. And I would have stayed there forever, but my wife, who had just played volleyball at Fresno State, was hired as a teacher at Corcoran. And we got engaged about a year later and decided we wanted to raise a family together, and we couldn't do that at separate schools. So I followed her over to Tulare Union, and it's really the best decision I ever made.
I'm curious too, Coach, about go ahead. I think we lost you for a second.
Yeah, and then once we got to Tulare, Dave Shoemaker, my buddy who used to be the coach here, said you're going to be unhappy here because it's a football school. And I've always kind of embraced that component of it. We had a really good run there for a while with Keontae Vernon, William Stallworth, David Love, Bryce Harris, Jordan Servi, Virgil Green, Barry, and Marquise Wilson. We won five championships within 7 years there. And probably the highlight of that was in 2006, Virgil Green's team going down and playing James Harden's team in Artesia after we lost the Valley Championship. That was an exciting moment for the program. And then Keontae and William and David kind of took the program to a different level, and we won 29 games in 2012. Beat one state game, and then we went down and lost in the grade eight of the state tournament. So that was a highlight. And then we had some down years. It was five long, tough years until this group of kids came through and we turned it back around and won over 60 games in three seasons. So we've got it going, brother.
You do. The ebbs and flows of coaching. But one thing's for certain, you've won a lot of basketball games. We got another minute here with you, Coach Mark Hatton. What is the ultimate goal with this year's team? How much are you going to push these guys at the end of the year? What is the ultimate end goal with this group of kids?
Well, it's very clear. We want to win league. We want to win Valley and return to state. And that's just kind of our thing with these guys. And it's been our way that we've done it for the last 3 years. And we got upset last year in the playoffs and ran into some stuff and just didn't play well. And that's the thing with basketball. You know, I watched in 1985 a very average Villanova team beat Georgetown. So I just keep reminding kids, you guys have to be ready each and every night. And I think we learned that lesson against Madera. So we're wiser and we're deeper. And nothing would make me happier for these kids to win a Valley Championship, because that's something no one can ever take away from them.
Absolutely. And you got the horses to do it this year. I believe what your base D2 is, that, am I correct on that, or base D3 for basketball?
We're base four, and we've never played a four playoff game since they moved us down to four. We've been,
well, there you go.
I thought we were going to talk about this playoff system. I'm almost kind of glad we're running out of time, because probably the place I could get myself in the most trouble with, because
how about this? Yes, how about this? When we get to that playoff system and we're about at the end game and we're speculating and all that stuff, I'll bring you on and we'll try to chop it up the best we can. Sound good, Mark?
That will be interesting. I don't know if I look forward to that, but I definitely would do it for you, brother, because I'm a big fan.
All right. Thank you. Hey, I appreciate you. It was great to see you play last week and great to talk to you a little bit after the game as well. Much deserved. You've been a staple in Tulare Unified for a long time, and I'm very happy for you. Congratulations.
Hey, come see us anytime. You're always welcome in T-Town.
You bet. All right, Coach Mark Hatton, that is a wrap for today's show. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. It's been a fun couple of hours. We'll do it again next week. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Cam Braca for joining us. Thanks to Coach Mark Hatton as well. And Lee Mayberry, head coach at Clovis High. And for Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show. Appreciate you guys as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.